This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. So this is that radio show that talks about what's going on locally. We kind of lean into the issues that are happening, the developments that are happening. But what makes all that stuff happen are the people. And we have a new leader in the community, he's with us today, Jamie Wall. Senator, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's it sound?
I hear I'm going to be fitted for a toga soon. But, you know, until that happens, it won't be real.
That's a cool title, Senator.
I guess. It goes way back.
Well, it does, but it's also, you know, representative is, it's good. They're all good, you know, but I think senators.
Well, I take the 4-year term over the 2-year. That seems like a lot of work running every 2 years.
How about that?
Yes.
Like, maybe it would. Congress never interested me for that purpose alone.
Right.
2 years, you win and they're like, they announce they're running against
you. Sure, you have time to clear your throat and then you're right back at it, I guess.
So yeah, you're in for 4 years, which is great. And we're happy about that. Tell me, we're going to talk about what you've been on the show before, but very briefly, I want to get to know you a little bit better today. But the Senate district is, there's 33 senators in the state of Wisconsin. You're one of them. What's the district? Where are you?
The district is the core of the Green Bay metro area of, you know, urban Brown County. So it's almost all of the city of Green Bay. We're just missing a scrap in the far northwest corner of the city up by the botanical gardens. And then there's this weird little island in the town of Scott that's part of the city. But maybe you had something to do with that back in the day. I'm not sure. But
we're here to talk about you.
Exactly. All right. So almost all of the city of Green Bay, then plus Ashwaubenon, Alloway, Bellevue, De Pere. And then another island of the town of Ledgeview to the southeast of Pier, and then about the western third of the town of Rockland. So that's as far south as the district gets.
Pretty much greater Green Bay then.
Yes. I mean, we're missing, you know, sort of Hobart and Howard
to
the west.
But
Ledgeview is not in the district, but sure.
All right. So before you were elected senator, and Bill, you had some tough competition, would you?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean... Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's people running, it's like, oh, thank God I got a dream candidate, you know, opposition. But, you know, I think you were one of those people. And I think there were a number of races where, look, city couldn't lose. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like,
Fair enough.
They were both, you know, good people, quality, and you were one of them. And again, congrats. What do you think got you over the top?
I'd say a couple things. One is, you know, there's things you control and things you don't control in politics and in life. And I think there's some of each in this case. One was the district, and this is something I didn't control, but had a little bit of lean in my direction. So that helps. People don't split their ballots like they used to. So it's harder and harder to run further away from the top of the ticket. I actually did run ahead of the top of the ticket. But the second thing is the things we control and, you know, I worked hard. My team worked hard. Yeah. We raised a bunch of money. I knocked on almost 19,000 doors over the course of the campaign. So if you're listening and you're in the district, there's a pretty decent chance I at least walked down your block at some point.
Right.
Walked just over 500 miles between Election Day and Labor Day and Election Day.
Really?
My Fitbit tells me. So I had my annual physical last week, and my blood pressure was reassuringly low after all that all that exercise. So I guess there's, you know, something good came out of it, if nothing else.
I'm not a doctor, but I would say the exercise and the fact that the race is over.
I think you're right about that one. I didn't think about that, but you're right.
I've had high pressure.
Yes, I fell on the floor after the election for a few days.
Yeah,
but yes. So,
that's awesome.
Right.
All right, so you were elected. Do you think... You worked hard, right? 19,000 doors,
sure.
500 miles. That's just a lot of campaigning. Plus, you know, raising money and running ads and mailings or whatever all came into that. But do you think issues got you over?
I
want to tell you, should I say that? I will. So I've interviewed you and your opponent. You guys weren't hugely different when it came to spending. You know, it's like you were like, well, this guy spends too much. And usually the people, the Republicans say the Democrats spend too much.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I saw that and I thought, that's interesting. Which to me, I'm a nonpartisan guy. I'm like, okay, we can't get this done, you know. But do you think you had some issues, Senator, that kind of connected a little bit better? I didn't really talk to people after the election. Yeah. And, you know.
Well, I think that some of the things I talked about were, and this I absolutely heard from people at the doors who were feeling a little bit pinched economically. Cost of living's gone up over the past few years. Not a lot the state can do about your grocery bill or your gas bill, but housing, I heard about all the time. Oh, yeah. You know, people trying to afford that first mortgage, or renters who were telling me that they were paying $1,700 for their half of the duplex. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be out of the rental market. I've owned my own house for, you know, not quite 20 years now. And I was a little shocked when I found out what people were paying for rent. So I tried to talk
Were you even more shocked when you found out what you could get for your house?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should look into renting it out for the draft weekend, you know, coming up next spring, and see I could probably fund a really nice vacation or something with that. But no, I mean, I tried to talk about, you know, meet the voters where they were. Said that there's some things the state can do. I mean, we're not magical, but there's things that we can do to lower housing costs, and we can talk a little bit about that if you want. There's, you know, childcare matters a lot to some people, and healthcare is a big issue for almost everybody. Beyond that, the state's sitting on record surpluses, and
that I do want to talk about.
Okay, okay,
I mean, I do want to talk about that. And if you want to talk about housing, why do you think housing is crazy? And these duplexes that we used to rent for $600 a half,
right?
And now it's $1,700.
Sure.
And maybe $600. I'm aging myself a little bit, but it wasn't $1,700.
Fair.
Not even 5 years ago. What are some of the things that when they said to you, you know, I got to tell you, Jamie, this housing is crazy. My kid's paying $1,200 for rent and is making, you know, whatever, $20 an hour.
Sure.
That's the math doesn't really work out. And the problem with rental, and, you know, God bless the rentals, but you're not building equity.
Right.
And we need to build equity. That's like it's capitalism the biggest, works on.
Right. It's the biggest and best investment most people are going to make in their is their house. And yeah.
So I want to talk about your response to those questions.
Right. I just look, we're better off here than a lot of other parts of the country, or even in the state. I mean, the housing market in Madison is pretty darn hot, much less let's not talk about what's going on the coast, you know. But I mean, my view is just we haven't really kept up in terms of building the housing that we need since about the Great Recession. And that's 10, 12 years ago at this point. So, you know, some of that is interest rates we don't control, but some of it is zoning decisions. I'm working on pulling together a budget request now in a few days to go to the governor. And part of that, you'll be delighted to know, is to support, you know, finally, you know, what we call moving the coal piles of, you know, relocating the Royce Coal Company from, you know, the sort of southern west side of Green Bay up to the mouth of the river. And that's going to free up, I don't know how many acres, you know, for redevelopment, a lot of that residential. So that's the kind of thing the state can do to, you know, in that case, we're working with local leaders to make that happen. And also, I think there's some money from the feds even involved there. But
yeah, land uses, we need land to build.
Right. And that's probably the biggest chunk of, you know, sort of semi-accessible land in the city. And it's right on the river, which is a nice thing now. So, so trying to create new opportunities for developers. You know, I'm a capitalist just like you, and you know, people should be able to make money and with the money they invest in housing. I had a good conversation with the Brown County home developers back a few months ago over the course of the campaign, and I'm looking to see more about what we can do to encourage people to build more housing, and, you know, single family condos, apartments, whatever. I mean, we need it. Yeah.
I want to get back to that 22 acres on the coal piles.
Right.
Okay. I hope, and I'm not in politics anymore, and I don't like money with strings attached. However, I think you should attach strings to that's got to be developed into a tax base, because we need the money.
And the city needs the money.
And you don't want to turn it into a park or into a school or into a church or, you know, God bless all of it. But man, we need tax base. So I hope that.
And the community needs housing.
And we need housing. So housing that pays taxes would be perfect.
I think we're on the same page there, Jim.
Like it. Yeah. All right, cool. What about, have you talked or looked at, and again, you're not even sworn in yet, and I'm sure everybody tells you, when do you get sworn in?
January 6th. It's always, I guess, the first Monday in the new year.
Okay.
Happens to be then this year.
Everybody tells you, you know, sworn in today, sworn at tomorrow.
Right.
But I know. I've heard that for 20 years. What about the workforce, though, to assist with housing? You know, I teach at NWTC, and I teach more business classes, but, you know, my assistant here, Kyle, is his dad's in home building or in construction. Is the workforce there to, you know, let's say you give them a bunch of land and you give them, they relax the zoning laws a little bit, which I think that would be okay too. Expedite the permitting. Well,
yep.
If you don't, you got
to
have labor.
You still need, right. You need labor and materials. And I know I have a friend who runs a small construction company in town, and they're kind of trying to get ahead of what might be some tariffs coming down from the national level and kind of stockpile some building materials. But, you know, workforce, I mean, that starts with the people who are here in the educational opportunities available for them. And you know as well as I do that people in the building trades make good money. They mostly sleep in their own beds, and their jobs can't be sent overseas. So that's a good combination for an awful lot of people. And you know, our tech colleges are just as important as our you know, ZW system in my mind, because they're the road to a different kind of good future for people who choose that path.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. And when it comes to that, technical schools may need. You fund the technical schools, right? The state?
Yes, but there's some involvement in the local property tax base as well. There's a, you know, if there's always
very
a line
small
in
part,
your,
though.
It is.
That's
it
a
is.
Small
it's not
part.
A huge chunk of funding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I would like to think we would have the construction workers, the electricians, and the plumbers if we're going to have a, you know, like we did after World War II, right? This huge burst of home development. So
a lot of the trade unions are running apprenticeship programs for all sorts of people, and they're always looking for folks who are interested in that, you know, men and women.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got to get, when we come back, I want to do this get to know you. I want to talk about your favorite restaurant, favorite meal.
Sure.
What do you do when you're not working? What's the best book you've read lately, or what are you reading right now? You know, that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right? You
fair enough.
Tell people about the Tesla you're driving. I'm just kidding. I know. No, what kind of, we'll talk about whatever you want, but I think people, you're representing what, 90? How many people?
About 180. 180,000, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Green Bay is about half of the district.
All right.
Population.
So people are going to, we're going to tell people about you when we get back. All right. We're here with Jamie Wall, Senator elect for the state of Wisconsin. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and yes, pick that music, change it up a little bit, Senator. The Who.
It's like the NFL game. Sometimes they have some fun in the music when they're rolling out to commercials.
That, you know, and you know, when you go to the Badger games, you know, they put those checkers up there to Who Are You to pick that. So we are learning a little bit more about you because this is your first time into elected office, right?
Right.
And you're the new senator, represent 180,000 people. And believe it or not, some people might say, who's Jamie Wall?
Oh, I'm not shocked at that. I mean, I think unless your name is Trump or Biden, most people don't know who the heck you are, or maybe even care all that much, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to creep on you or anything, but, you know, just tell me about you, not your political issues. I'm going to end with stuff on, I really want to talk about reproductive rights. I do want to talk about marijuana. I want to talk about some issues. But this next segment, I'd like to, if you're okay with it, talk about you.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So. Sure. Born, raised, school.
Yeah. All right. Well, start at the beginning. I was, I live in the 1200 block of Law Street, which is about 2.5 blocks from St. Vincent Hospital where I was born. So I didn't make it all that far in life, but, I was actually raised down in the southern part of Brown County. My dad and his brother ran the family farm, and they both worked off the farm as well. My dad came back from the Korean War and drove gravel truck for 6 months, and then signed up with the prison in Alloway with the Green Bay Correctional Institution, the reformatory there. He was a guard, and later on in his career, he ran an auto body vocational training program for the inmates so they'd have some sort of marketable skill, you know, if and when they got released. So, those guys, my dad, my uncle, they worked hard. They got up at 5:30 in the morning and milked the cows. And my dad's case, you know, drove 17 minutes to Alloway and put his 8 hours in there and drove home and milked the cows again. And in the summer, they'd be out in the fields, until late. So,
I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to tell you. So we're talking a little bit of break. I a company, right? A decent company. And you don't want to stereotype, you don't want to generalize, but I will tell you, when we would hire farmers, it was a sure bet. You know, we need dependable people, hardworking people that could pack stuff, load trucks. And I'm telling you, that was the first hire was this lady, this girl. She was a farmer.
Sure.
Big, you know, I asked him in the interview, you know, what's your goal? She wanted to buy a truck. I'm like, man, we can make that happen.
Sure.
I mean, you gotta work hard, but she got a really nice pickup truck too. And she worked with, she was great, but she was a farmer.
Right. Well, most things I've seen in life since then didn't strike me as all that much work by comparison. You know, right? the beauty of dairy farming is that you get paid every 2 weeks instead of, once a year if you're crop farming. But the horror of it is the cows don't know it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they need to be milked, two times a day back in the day. Now it's three, whether it's Christmas, New Year's, or the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's why you guys with weddings, you guys kind of go to the mass and then you got to go home. And,
right, right.
Wow.
But
that's work. Hey, all right. So did you watch it or did you participate?
Oh, no, I participated in it. We were actually relatively fortunate. I mean, we had two families there, so we had more labor around the place than a lot of people did, but which made it easier. But, still it was... We did work, spent a couple summers wearing my jeans thin in the front from, baling hay, but...
is work. All right, so you did that.
Sure.
In the southern part of Brown County, your high school?
Skeeton was the little Irish-American crossroads grew up in, yeah.
I kind of want to track you a little bit. So you were living in the county, working on your dad's farm.
Right, as a kid, but going to school in Wrightstown.
Okay.
Public schools there, K through 12, Big 4-H'er, actually, but that goes with the farm stuff. Right. I was at a meeting of the town board in Rockland, which is the southern part of my district, a couple nights ago, and one of the ladies there recognized me from my time as a 4-H kid a long time ago now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any blue ribbons you want to share with us?
Oh, I did win the grand championship sheep 1 year at the fair. Yeah, so that was a high point. But
all right, so I would have that on my literature.
Right,
I didn't read that on your literature.
Right.
All right, grand prize.
Yeah.
But then what? Do you go slaughter them then, or what do you do with them? Sell them? Or?
Yeah. Well, we you always shear them for the wool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
So
that I can handle.
Yeah, and they were kind of the cows is where we made our money, but my cousin actually got into this at first, and he got a few. We only had like half a dozen of them. It's not like we had thousands of sheep.
You won.
Took care of and brought them to the fair.
That grand prize. Well, that's cool. That's very cool. All right. So then what happened? So you were in high school. You went to Wrightstown.
Yeah.
You 4-H Grand Marshal of the Year, whatever you call it.
Grand Champion.
Grand Champion. Okay, yes, I didn't write that.
Right,
I wrote
it
down. All right.
Okay,
I won't forget that. Okay. Grand.
No,
right.
And sometime maybe my junior year of high school, my dad sat me down and said, look, son, do you want to take over the farm? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, my cousin's kind of more into it than I am, and I kind of want to go to college. So we sorted it out that way as a family. Dad over time sold his half of the farm to, some of his brother's business partners, his son. And my cousin Mark still runs the place up there now. So that makes me feel good. There's a family heritage in that. I was the first in my family to go to college, so went down to the UW-Madison and spent 4 years there. I'm going to date myself because tuition was $800 a semester the first year I was there, and it's a little bit higher, I understand, today.
Still the best deal in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it
I
is
mean,
a
it's,
great,
it's one of the
great deal.
Probably 50 best universities in the world, and it's at our doorstep.
People who complain, it's like what you're getting for, I don't know, $27,000. That is it more? Maybe it's more. Anyway, that's a hell of a deal.
Sure. But it was an even cheaper deal for me at that point.
So, all right, so sure. What did you study?
History and political science. I've got about half of a physics degree, but changed course a little bit in the middle there. So,
The old political science and physics can't go wrong there.
Exactly, right, right. Very, very applied combination there. But
Then what? You got out, you graduated?
Yeah, and I should take half a step back since we're talking about why I was just elected to the Senate. I'm gonna blame the American Legion partially for that. Cool. Because they ran their Badger Boys and Badger Girls States programs, and they made an impression. I went to the Badger Boys program, obviously, but that made an impression on me.
All right, that's cool. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. But everyone I know who's been to Badger Boys has been quite successful.
Oh, all right. I enjoyed it. I came back for a couple of years as a counselor after I went through as a student, as a participant. And so that was all good. After college, this is one of these things that just sort of happened, but some of my professors encouraged me to apply for a Rhodes Scholarship, which funds your studies at Oxford in England for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I did that and became...
No way. Yeah. Are you a Rhodes Scholar?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So we talked about that. I have another radio show. They just announced it this week.
Oh, okay.
The Rhodes Scholars. And there's only...
32 Americans.
Right. Out of 3,000 or 6,000 that initially applied, then it whittles mm-hmm. down to 285. And those 285 are all crossing their fingers. And... man, that must have been cool when you got that letter.
It changed my life in some ways, but not in others. I mean, I did have a chance to go and, get a free education, which was pretty
nice.
Was
it 2, 3, 4 years? How long did you go?
Two years, excuse me, then with an option for a third year if you wanted it. But I just took the two. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That is very cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to be honest with you, Jamie. I did not know that. Had I been a Rhodes Scholar, a lot of people would have known that. I think that's very cool. I do. I think that's awesome. Hey, we're gonna be back. I want a couple more things about where you like to eat, favorite food, all kind of stuff, and then we're gonna get into some bigger issues.
Sure,
but
sure,
all right, so
enough.
You're listening to Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, special in-house guest, Senator-elect Jamie Wall.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. This city on rock and
roll. From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local, the show where we lean local, talk about what's going on here locally and all the great things, even our intro song, we built this city on rock and roll. And I ask candidates often, what is your rock and roll? Like, what did we build this city on? And we have a Senator-elect, Jamie Wall, in house, and we're going to talk about his major issues and why he ran for office. But before that, we were talking before we went to break. You like trivia. You're good at trivia. What else do you like to do? Or tell us a little bit about your trivia experiences, because I know you hang with a friend of mine.
Right, right. Well, the reason this came up is when we were going out of the previous segment, you played Tina Turner, Simply the Best. And mm-hmm. I said, I played that song last night. You're like, well, why? Well, I'm part of a group of people who lead pub trivia, and we used to do it at St. Brendan's downtown. And now after the pandemic, we're out at Zambaldi in Alloway. But I did a round last night on saxophone solos, and I just played a saxophone solo and said, you know, asked people to identify the artists. And one of the songs I used was simply the best, since Tina's got a big, big solo in there.
You played the sax?
No. Oh, I just had it queued up on, you know, on my phone. I'm not that talented, you know. Gonna, but
well, we're trying to learn more about you. I'm thinking, okay, right. I did. You're okay. You're not an accomplished. Are you an accomplished musician? Do you?
I've over time, I've sung in, like, you know, the church choir, and nice. I do karaoke every once in a while. I mean, I'm a basic baritone. I know my limits, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that trivia thing is just one quick story on that. I have kids that are, you know, 20s, late 20s. When we go out, it's always to a trivia thing.
Oh, cool.
That is, like, unbelievable, like in Nashville and New York. There's just these kids, that's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Did we bowl? Did we go do darts? I don't know what we did. I think we just sat around and drank. But
there's plenty of sitting around and drinking involved in trivia as well. But yeah.
Anyway, that's a cool thing to do. So, again, I want to talk a little bit more about you as a person, because I think it's okay that we know our representatives, not creepy know them, but just like know of them. What makes them tick, and the fact that you're from here, you're UW grad. You're a Rhodes Scholar. You love trivia. But make the connection. You ran for senator. What happened after college again?
I went away to grad school in England. Right after that, I went to work for a big business consulting firm called McKinsey in their New York office. I spent a couple of years there. Joined a software startup out in Silicon Valley for a couple of years and decided I wanted to come home. I mean, I wasn't particularly excited by the work I was doing, and I'm an only child. My mom was a widow at this point, and it was good for me to be closer than two time zones away. So that all kind of, you know, and that was a good decision. I mean, I was able to help her out. You know, she passed away about 10 years ago, brain cancer, sorry. And use your sunscreen and pay attention to any weird moles, because that was in her case, skin cancer that had, you know, gone metastatic and jumped to her brain. So, So anyhow, I mean, so now I'm back in the area. I ended up, running the state's economic development programs for a couple of years almost 20 years ago now. And that was, I think I talked about that a little bit when you had me on last year, Jim.
And that's where we kind of met, you know, was you were working with the state.
Right. And, you know, that was interesting. And I think, you know, often important work, you know, you were helping companies big and small expand and create jobs. And that played into the business background that I've had. I mean, I've been running my own, small consulting firm business for, you know, 15 or so years.
Okay, cool.
Work mostly with medical device companies and product managers, usually in the eye care space, helping them figure out what their customers need and how they can get it to them. So, and then often helping them do that too. But I used to travel like crazy before the pandemic, but, you know, now everybody's used to Zoom and video conferences, and that saves a lot of time in your airplanes, and I'm all in favor of that. So, sure.
Although, I don't know. There's something about looking someone in the eye.
Absolutely there is. And it's everybody's cut back in their travel budgets, but not for their sales force, because it's hard to, you know, you want to build that personal relationship. And we're still, you know, there's something very human about, you know, looking somebody in the eye and shaking their hand.
And I've been on my share of Zoom meetings, and man, because I'm a little older than you, but I never got into it. I mean, I tried, but that's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole lot of stuff better than Zoom.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like parties. I like...
I do. But there's an awful lot of things better networking than the Sheraton in Fort Worth, too, you know? So if that's the trade-off...
All right, cool.
I'll take being at home any day.
All right, so when you're not working, I'll talk about fishing, hunting, deer hunting. You going with the 600,000 people in Wisconsin going tomorrow? Well, weekend.
I grew up deer hunting, and I have on and off. I'm probably don't have my act together this year. You have no idea how much deferred maintenance I have. I have a list of personal errands. It's a foot long to be done after putting everything aside for eight months over the campaign.
I get that.
Yeah. I won the greatest skeet and shoot off, 1 year in high school back in the day. So, and that was right after I had, shot my first deer in a very public way. This was opening weekend, but people were getting together to watch the Packer game in what we call the hunting shack that was on my dad's land. And, there were a group of deer that came down the, you know, the fence row, and I was sitting in the back since I was young. I didn't have the right to the good seats
up close to the TV. There's a hierarchy, hunting.
I was the first one at the door, and my dad yelled, "Shoot the big one for me, Jamie." So I, you know, got out in the field and kind of eyed it up and, you know, drew a bead and thought, nah, I need to lead it more and I need to, it's far, so I need to raise the gun a little bit. But anyhow, yeah, one shot and I hit it right in, you know, right in the kind of, right in the neck basically, and dropped it, and there were 20 guys cheer behind me, and so that was
for your deer, for the touchdown,
for the deer. It was all very dramatic, although my neighbor said my neighbor thought his son had shot it and said, "Attaboy, Joe," and I was like, "No, I shot. Did Joe shoot? I shot. What was going on?" So it was a moment of confusion there. Yeah. But yeah,
well, that's cool. That's a good memory.
So that was my moment of glory in the deer hunting world.
All right, do you cook, do you read?
I don't cook particularly well, but I do. Yeah. I mean, I started cooking a lot more in the pandemic than I had before for obvious reasons. Right?
I think we all did. Right. I have really got into cooking. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. I like entertaining. And, you know, the pandemic, we couldn't go out to eat. And then after we could go out to eat, the service wasn't very good, you know, because
every short staffed.
They were. I know. And I'm not complaining. I love the restaurants and the restaurateurs in Greater Green Bay, but, lost my cool a couple times, and my wife's like, "Okay, we can't go out anymore." Well, I still want to entertain, so then we just do it at home now, which is fun. And I think a lot of people learned how to cook during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of positives that came out of that. As tough as it was, there's some good things that came out of it, and I think that was one of them.
Sure. So, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I like to read. I mean, mostly history, you know, some fiction or science fiction to follow the Packers like everybody else does around here. That's nothing unusual.
No.
But, I came off the, I put myself on the waiting list and when I was in college, and a couple of years ago, I got a letter from the Packers saying you can die in the green list, or if you go in the gold list, we'll have your tickets in about 2 years. And I think it took three, but yeah, I'm in my second year as a season ticket holder there with the gold package.
Well, you guys got some pretty good games.
This year we did. We got all the division ones.
There's some green people that were happy.
I gave away one set of tickets to my my campaign staff, but I'll be there for the Bears game in January, whenever that is.
Fun. Yeah. Your commercials, your TV commercials, and even some of your literature was, he's a tall guy. Can I ask, are you basketball?
I grew about 6 inches in high school and about 6 inches after I graduated from high school. So I never got good when I was a kid because it wasn't a natural thing. I ran cross country and track in high school, though, and that I enjoyed. And, you know, heck, I still run now. You know, so I've enjoyed that over the years.
Neighborhood, or are you at a club gym?
No, just around the neighborhood. I usually go over to the East River, and you know, one side or the other, and there's some trails along there through the parks or the actual East River Trail itself, and that's nice. I mean, I've seen. You see wildlife. I see cranes there, you know, the occasional deer. I saw a fox once, the turkeys, all sorts of little muskrats, I think they are, you know. So it's a little bit of a wildlife refuge there in the middle of the town.
It is. I can tell you a story about that. All right. So are you involved in any social organizations, Optimus Kiwanis? Is there something that attracts you to? You're a social guy, and it just... I'm just curious.
I mentioned the pub trivia, which is something that's I do. Cool. I'm not members of any service organizations, but I should get to know those people, and I'll make a point of reaching out to them over time here. I sit on the commission for the Green Bay Water Utility, so I have almost nothing to do with the fact that water comes out of your tap when you open it in the morning, but I oversee, you know, the budgets for the people who do have everything to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on the national, not the national, the state 4-H foundation, board for a few years. That was charity fundraising because, you know, like I said before, the 4-H program was very good to me.
And that's still strong, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it skews rural, and there are plenty of organizations like, you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs, you know, here in town that play a similar role in kids' lives. So yeah. You know, they all do good work in a different way.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting background. You're an interesting guy. So you took all that, and what was the impetus that made you throw your hat in the ring for senator? And before you answer that, were you mad about something? Because that's what some people like. They don't like what's going on. Yeah. Other people are like, look, I feel an obligation to duty type thing. And other people are so encouraged and not pushed, but it's like, dude, you got to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious as to where you fit in on this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm a particularly angry man, but I mean, I wasn't super happy with the direction of things in Madison for a while here. I mean, with the, you know, with the old maps, you had a whole bunch of Republicans in bomb-proof districts and a smaller number of Democrats in bomb-proof districts. And all they were worried about was, you know, their own primaries, and everybody was playing, you know, outside the 20-yard lines instead of trying to come together in the middle and, you know, worried about the average citizen and the voter in the middle, which is how people, you know, how politicians in a democracy should act. So I don't think that served the state particularly well. And when they drew the new district here, I mean, I took a look at it and said, okay, well, it's winnable, you know, because I don't want to, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work and you don't want to just run into a wall if you know that it's not going to work for you. So that was that.
Oh,
you say
that like being sarcastic, you don't run into a wall like you don't, you can run into me.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Bad pun. Bad pun.
Okay. But, no, I would agree that I think the Republicans may have looked at it too. Like, this is winnable. I think it's, isn't it pretty much a 50-50?
It's a little more Democratic.
Is it?
Maybe,
okay.
maybe a couple points. Okay. A point and a half, 2 points, something like that, I think, would how most people would score it.
One could argue it's winnable on both sides.
Right. And it is. Okay. It is. It's a moderate district.
Yeah.
So, and it deserves a moderate to represent it.
All right.
So, sure.
So you saw that, and that was that it?
Yeah, that was a big part of it. I mean, I started talking to people around town about, was anybody else thinking of running, and, you know, would I have their support if I did? And those conversations all went well. So, you know, went to talk to some of the people in Madison about it too, and that all worked. So yeah, I announced in front of the I Love Green Bay statue in the city deck that actually you probably had something to do with back in the day. So if not the statue, the city deck, I know you did.
Yeah. And then you hit the campaign trail. You're a campaigner.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's, you want somebody who's a little bit competitive and wants to work at it too. I mean, I think that's a guarantee that you have somebody in office who's going to want to work a little bit for you as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it. You saw it. There's an opportunity here. The maps. I got a shot at this thing. Nobody else. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody else. The support was there.
Yeah.
And then you threw your hat in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
What were the issues that you were running on? Was that parallel to what the constituents wanted? Did you like, whoa, maybe I'm not on the right track here?
No, I think, you know, look, I mean, government isn't the solution to everything. And, you know, I mean, bureaucracies have a bad reputation for a reason, but it can play a role in making people's lives better. And I want to try to push things and get government inside of the regular people as much as you can.
All right. When we come back, I do want to talk to you about some burning issues on the state. Mm-hmm. And reproductive rights is one of them.
Oh, sure.
Legalized marijuana, be it for medical or recreation, that's another one. And I'm glad you addressed the coal piles because that was on my list.
So okay.
I'm glad you're introducing some legislation in the next couple weeks. I'm going to hold you to that, by the
way. Okay, great, great.
Hey, we're going to be right back. It's Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, Senator-elect Jamie Wahl.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me.
Is this greater one?
Yeah, you need to give your music chooser a raise here, Jim, I think. So.
I mean, we're getting to know Jamie Wahl, Senator-elect on Lean Local here. And he dug up Julie Andrews. So that and The Who, I'm not sure they know each other, but those are two songs to kind of lean into what we're doing here with you. Interesting guy. So as we wrap this up, I want to talk to you about some issues that you're going to be working on, whether you want to or not. But before I do that, so you're out campaigning 19,000 doors, 500 miles. If you run into someone or a group of people that I'm going to go do this and they don't like it, Do you ever say, wait a minute, am I wrong and they're right? Or do you try to convince them? You know what I'm saying? If the constituency is not in line with what you thought, I don't want to give you an example, but let's say a roller coaster. No, let's say you want to...
Hypothetically.
You think something's needed and people are like, and some pretty important, powerful people are like, that own businesses are like, Jim, this is where I get off with you. Mm-hmm. That's not a great example. I want to hear from you as a senator that if your constituency feels one way and you feel something else, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think it depends is probably the honest answer, that you should, as an elected official, take your lead from your constituents. If everybody's telling me, oh my gosh, I'm struggling to make ends meet because of these things, maybe that's an indication that I should pay a little bit of attention to the kind of things they're worried about, okay? There may be other instances where, heck, you may have known more about the Zippin' Pippin' and what it could bring than the average person in the street. And in that case, you owe them your judgment, and not just your obedience. So,
and I was talking to a guy last night, little argument with him about I think something should be done, and he goes, "Well, nothing's going to happen. It's a dead end by a parking lot, a piece of property that mm-hmm. I think should be developed." Okay, I'm like, what if I had that attitude with the waterfront, right? Mm-hmm. That was the backs of bars, and I think vision's important. I mean, I think a good leader, to me, has vision and then builds the consensus to support that
vision.
Right,
looks on the road and tries to figure out where are the resources that you could bring to make something good happen.
And that's not always easy to convince people. So that's going to happen. I think there's going to be things that people are going to say, Senator, we need this. And you're going to be like, okay, and you're willing to just listen to it, talk to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, part of the job, and I touched on this a little bit. I mean, it's not like you didn't elect me to be king, and I'm one of 33 people in one house of the legislature, but, I've got a little bit of influence in what the governor puts into his budgets, we worked with the people at the city about what they need to, finally get those coal piles moved, and we're going to, put in a request for some funds there. I sat down with Mayor Boyd and DePere and his team, just yesterday morning, and heard about some of the things they had planned for the city down there. Right. And if you've ever been on Main Street in the west side driving toward town and you go down underneath the railroad bridge and the lanes pinch down from four into three and the traffic backs up there. You know this, but a lot of the main thoroughfares through town are actually state roads. And they're the jurisdiction and responsibility of the state. And that Main Street there is Highway 32, and the state is looking to rebuild it in a few years. But if that happens, we want to make sure that they're able to not have that same pinch point in place for the next 50 years until they get around to rebuilding the whole street again. So that's important to the civic leaders there, but it's also important to everybody who's been backed up, waiting for that pinch point to clear up in their commute every afternoon.
That's great. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are thinking about that. Hey, a couple things that are in the news. I want to just hear your opinion on the reformatory.
Yeah.
100 years old, built for 500. What do we have? 1,100 people there. I've been through there many times. I'm sure you have too. It's old and I hear it's unsafe. I don't know that. Is it the best use? Is it practical? Is it working? You can't argue it is working, right? We're keeping people in there. We haven't escaped in there in forever.
Right. So that's a pretty low bar, though. But right. The streets of Alloway are not full of escaped convicts. So that's a good thing.
Okay. But what do you think?
Like I said earlier, my dad worked there for 34 years. I know a little bit about his experience. I'll be in the place for the first time since I was a kid. It was in the right side of the bars. They dedicated a new cafeteria and brought the families of the employees in for an open house there. So I still vividly remember being airlocked through those outer gates. The one opens and closes behind you before the other one.
And that's loud, right? Oh my God.
It made a big impression on me at age 10.
Yep. I hear you.
Yeah. But to answer your question, there's a lot of things going on with the state prison system, and it's hard to think about how to solve them without taking half a step back and looking at the whole criminal justice system at the same time. So things have stabilized a little bit, at the prison. They've brought on some, they were running so short staffed right. that they were just on lockdown forever. The inmates never got to come out of their cells because there weren't enough guards. All right. The last budget, they bumped the pay a bit, and they've been able to hire some new guards and some new correctional officers there. So that's helped stabilize the institution, but it's still outdated. Problems there. And Waupun is even worse from everything I hear. So we're clearly coming to the end of those facilities. So what I'd like to do is to look at the criminal justice system, say, are there things that we can do to help transition people, give them the kind of vocational skills, like my dad was training these inmates to take auto body repairs. Is there ways that we can figure out a way to reduce the population slightly without endangering public safety, which is the bottom line? Because no business would build a new facility without knowing what the demand for it is. And the state needs to think like a business on this one. We still need a place to house those inmates. And right now, that's what we've got. They're closing Lincoln Hills as a youth mm-hmm. facility. That's going to open up some more adult beds for the system. But there's a lot of moving pieces here. And I've been in conversation with the governor's folks about this, and this is going to be a big topic
totally.
For the legislature in the spring here. So stay tuned. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Okay. Marijuana, recreational, medical, that's going to show up on your desk too.
Yeah. And I think it's very clear where the public is. I mean, they're in favor of both of those things. All of our neighboring states, maybe with the exception of Iowa, have said yes to both of those questions. And I don't see blood running in the streets of the UP as a result. I'd like to take some of that tax money and devote it to alcohol and drug treatment and rehabilitation, because that's at the root of a lot of our criminal justice problems.
Quickly,
too.
We're sitting on a surplus,
right.
which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Any major project that you're looking at?
I'd like to take some of that money and give it back to, you know, to the people who need it the most in the form of middle class tax cut. That's one thing I campaigned on. Aside from that, some of my other priorities, you know, housing, etc., education, we've probably been underfunding. That's where that should go.
I'll take the tax cut. All right, this is great. Jamie Wall, Senator-elect, going to be sworn in on January 6th. Congratulations. That's a hard-fought race.
You yeah,
won,
thank you.
And you got 4 years of representing this district. We're proud to have you here.
Excellent.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.